Well, good morning, everybody. And we're into this third part here of The Anatomy of Evil, part three. And we're going to be continuing this on the subject of the place of distraction. And we've been looking at how the devil uses certain methods and certain schemes that God has highlighted in the Word of God to distract us from God. So we're carrying on this series about dissecting the devil and his schemes. Now, why would we want to do that? It's so that we can become smart, and because God tells us to get smart from the Bible, in order that we don't get outwitted by the devil's methods. And that's what God instructs us to do in the Bible. He wants us to get smart. He wants us to be aware of how the devil operates. So once we get smart, guess what? We can then take some action. Because the goal of all education, the goal of coming here, is to take some action. If what we're learning here doesn't permeate your life, it doesn't get into your everyday life, let's go and do something else. Because we could be doing something else. So it's important that you take the information today, not as a head knowledge thing, write a couple of notes down and put it on a shelf and say, that was good.
Yeah?
But you actually watch for these methods. You watch for these schemes of the devil in the world and in our everyday life. Now, last week we saw how the devil entered the perfection of the Garden of Eden. Remember that? And what he tried to do was distract Eve away from God. And remember, she never even saw it coming. Remember that? Why did she not see it coming? Because the devil turned up as an angel of light.
Yeah, that's good.
Right? He didn't turn up as an evil guy. He turned up as an angel of light. And that's what he used to be. So he knew how to masquerade as an angel of light, because that's what he originally was with God in heaven. So he turned up as a great guy as far as Eve was concerned. Because Eve thought Satan had something great to offer her. Eve thought that he had some great spiritual insight and some superior knowledge that could be of benefit to her. That's why she went down the road with Satan. Because she thought this was going to be a great thing. And how often does he turn up in our world just like that? And we saw last week how the love of money, remember that? The love of money is a root of evil. Because putting money in a superior position in our minds to God can be a massive distraction that makes us wander from the truth. Yeah. Remember, we saw that in Timothy. And that's one big area to watch in all of our lives. And at the same time, you can keep money in a healthy place in your life. It's not that money is evil. Money is not evil. It's where you put it in your mind and life that makes it evil. It's a possible distraction when you put it first. Because a major place for money in our minds as Christians should be to serve others. That's the place of money for us as Christians. It's to be able to give, like Anne was saying there before the offering. It's to be able to serve others the word of life. And to keep life and limb together as well. But most people will keep it in service to themselves. Yeah? They'll keep it in service and they get tricked with it. Because they'll often give voice to it being for others, but when you look at their lives, you actually see it's about them.
Yeah.
And it's little, very little about others.
Yeah.
So we've got to keep that in perspective, because we saw last week that is one major distraction that the devil can use.
Yeah.
And remember the first thing Satan did? He got into a conversation with Eve. He got her to consider what he, Satan, was actually saying. He got her to question what God had originally said. Remember he said to Eve, did God really say? Now remember what I said when we started this series. His methods, his schemes, the reason God tells us to get smart on them is because they don't change.
Yeah.
They just take on a different view to us at times. But ultimately, foundationally, these methods are the same today as they were in the beginning.
Yeah.
That he hit Eve with. They're the same ones. So we've got to watch out for these. So he got her to first question what God had really said. And then what he did was he deleted some words. Remember we saw that last week? He deleted some words. And he got Eve also to delete some words. That was a clever thing. He got her to repeat his error. And the interesting truth is that he got Eve to delete the words relating to the freedom God had given them. The first thing he went for was the freedom that God had said in the garden that he made available to them.
Yeah.
So the first aspect the devil attacked was the freedom God had set up for mankind. And guess what? He's still after all of our freedom today. Never forget that. The devil hasn't changed. He's still after our freedom.
Yeah.
You know, what did the religious guys of Jesus' time try and do to Jesus and his disciples? They tried to tie them up in bondage, didn't they? They tried to give them a whole pile of rules and regulations to live by. Tried to tie them up in the religious systems of the world. And let's look at what Jesus said gives us true freedom. Because there's a lot of things that offer freedom in the world. There's a lot of courses you can take on how to be free in all aspects of life. But let's look at what Jesus Christ said and God's word says about freedom. And look at Luke chapter 4, verse 18, a fantastic verse here. Jesus Christ speaking to us in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Jesus Christ speaking here, and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me." Look at that. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to" what? "Preach good news." That's the words of God. It's to preach good news. He was preaching the word of God. And look at this. To the what? To the poor. He has sent me to proclaim what? Freedom. So the words that he's proclaiming are going to proclaim freedom. The good news of Jesus Christ gives people freedom. It's only the words of God that does that. And then he goes on to say, for the prisoners, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed. And Jesus did one thing. He spoke the words of God. So to get all of these things that Jesus Christ spoke about there, the freedom, the good news, the release from the oppression, the recovery of sight to the blind, you have to go back to God's word. There's no other place. It's the words of God that sets people free. Look at John 6:63. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And in chapter 6, verse 63, it says, "The Spirit gives life." And look at this. "The flesh counts for" what? "Nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life."
Amen. Yeah.
We're seeing here in the Garden of Eden, Satan's after God's words. Why is that? Because it's going to make sure if he can get these words away from people, they're never going to see the spiritual life. They're never going to see the true freedom of Jesus Christ. So this is why we're spending time in Genesis. This is why it's so relevant to us today, is because the devil doesn't change. And guess what? The words of God don't change either. They still bring spiritual life. They still bring proclamation to the poor and the oppressed. They still set people free. And in 2 Corinthians 3:17, I'll just read this one to you. "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." So guess what? The devil doesn't want people to have the Spirit of the Lord. Because he knows that when you get a glimpse of this, get a glimpse of the freedom Jesus Christ makes available, you're going to be free.
Yeah.
And you're going to be free indeed. You're going to have total freedom in your life. Now, as the devil is the opposer of God, opposite to God in absolutely every way and every category of his nature, it would then be true to say that where his, the devil's spirit is, there is no freedom. There is total bondage and slavery. And that's the truth of the word. Until the Spirit of Jesus Christ comes into the life of an individual, they do not have freedom. I don't care how they look. I don't care what amount of stuff they have in their lives. Freedom is from the inside out. And in Galatians 5:1, it says, "It is for freedom that Christ hath set us free." Isn't that amazing? It's free. The reason Jesus Christ set us free is so that we could have freedom. So that we could have freedom. Now, how does Christ set anyone free? It's with the truth of God's words. It's with the truth of God's words. That's how people are set free in life. So guess what the devil's after? He's after the truth of God's word. Because if he can get rid of mankind's freedom, he gets rid of your freedom. He gets rid of all of our freedom. And it's by getting rid of the word of God that the devil puts people into bondage. And in John 8:30, I'm going to read this from the King James Version. Jesus Christ said, and as he spake these words, many believed on him. And in verse 31 he says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So the stipulation on freedom that Jesus Christ put into the world and to these people that he was speaking to and to you and I is that we've got to continue in the Word of God. Right? And it's the words of God, rightly divided, rightly taught, that actually give us the freedom that Christ came to give us. Now just think how ironic it is now that most of the people in the world do not get involved in anything Christian because they perceive it's a life of bondage.
Yeah.
And it's a life of restriction.
That's so good.
How great a job has the devil done? Everything that Jesus Christ came to do, to set people free with the word of God, the devil now has painted a whole picture in religion and the systems of religion in the world that people perceive that that's a life now of bondage.
Wow. Yes.
I don't want to get involved in that because I want a real life. I want a life that's really free. And that Christian life they now perceive is not the way to go. How devilish is that? And that's what we're up against. That's why over the last few weeks we've been seeing why the devil masquerades as an apostle of Christ. Because he paints a picture of Christianity being full of rules, full of regulations, full of restriction, full of bondage, and nobody wants to go there now. And we're changing that person by person. Because the devil couldn't have done a better job of deceiving people in the world than he has done today. Because the only place people get genuine freedom is in the truth of God's word. It's in the truth of God's word. Not in the religious systems the devil has set up, but in the truth of God's word. Why do you think the words of God are the devil's number one target then? Isn't it so obvious why the word of God is the devil's number one target? That's the devil's first and his main target. And it always has been. His first aim is always to get rid of God's word. Because if we get rid of God's word, we're going to see it from the word, you don't have anything but bondage, but restriction. So this week we're going to continue to look at the onslaught against mankind in the beginning. And if you go to Genesis chapter 3, we're going to go back to Genesis chapter 3. And last week we saw how the devil first got Eve into a conversation, then he got her to question God's word. Yeah? And if you didn't hear that teaching, go back onto the website and catch up with it there. Bring yourself up to date on it. That was Eve's first mistake, getting into a conversation. Then he got her to question what God had said. Then he started to omit words from God's word. How did he do that? By misquoting what God had said. And then he got Eve repeating that same error that he had thrown in her face. And she just went right ahead and did it. She bought it, hook, line, and sinker. She didn't see him coming. So let's look at how he continued this onslaught against Eve. Now remember, as we go through this, he's using the same methods against us today. And often with tremendous results. Because he's smart. Never forget that. He's a smart enemy. He's smarter than most Christians. Because most Christians aren't smart enough to go into the Word of God and to start to understand the methods and the schemes of the devil.
Yeah, that's so true.
They just take it onto their lives and try and sort it out with their senses.
Yeah.
I heard a great quote the other day. If the devil cannot make somebody bad, he'll make that person busy. Did you hear that?
Wow.
He's not out to make you bad. Because for us, being bad is not an option.
Yeah.
We know Jesus Christ better than that. So if he can't make you bad, he's going to make you so busy that you can't squeeze God into your life. And that is so, so true. Because let me ask you something. What's the difference? What's the difference in being bad and being so busy you don't allow God into your life? Because the devil's ultimately got the goal of getting God out of your life. Both of these things do that. If you can't squeeze God into your life, ultimately it's the same thing. You know what I mean? Because you're not giving God the place of number one in your life.
Yeah.
And a lot of us are not going to be bad. Because we know we're smart. We know enough of the Word of God. But now what he tries to do, he gets us so busy in life with our jobs, with our social life, with everything else, that we have to now squeeze God into it. Rather than making God the number one and squeezing the social life into it. So we've got to be so careful with that. Now, he didn't come out to Eve and say, I want you to be evil, did he?
No.
Because she would have seen that. No, he just got her distracted from God, from what God had really said. He got her distracted away from God's word. And we're starting to see that now, that that is his ultimate goal, is getting us distracted away from God's word. So once he has people considering and questioning God's word, and he's got some of it deleted, what next then? Well, let's look at this. His third weapon will be to add to God's word. He'll add stuff into God's word. So now he continues the conversation in verse 3. Look at this. Isn't it interesting that Eve has absolutely no clue as to what the devil's up to here in this section? And that is so often the case in life. Why is that? Because it's only the word of God that makes us smart about the devil's schemes. So if you don't know the word of God, if you don't know the Bible says you're ignorant and you're outwitted. So it's only as we get smart with our understanding of the word of God that we understand the spiritual forces that are working in the world.
Yeah.
Remember, the devil is taking away God's word here, virtually one word at a time. Isn't he? In fact, his onslaught on Eve is almost invisible to her. She doesn't even actually perceive it's going on. Because he's taking it an inch at a time. You know, up until the point of going to God's word, we are flowing in the systems of the world. Remember we saw that last week? In the course of this world. Which for the most part, the devil has designed to keep people in the dark.
Yeah.
The systems of the world do not show people God's word. Right? The systems of the world are to hide God's word. To cover it up. To make the world look so attractive that you don't need God and you don't need the word of God. You don't need Jesus Christ. Because you can be a self-made man. You can get so much money and stuff that you really don't need God. Yeah? Now listen to what Eve has to say continuing as she continues her conversation with Satan. In Genesis 3:3, but God did say, oh now, you think to yourself, fantastic.
Yeah.
Here's Eve now, she's quoting God's word at Satan. Don't you? You know, you might say, you know, she's bringing the devil back to what God had originally said. What a relief. And then she goes on to say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. That's what she said back to the devil. So don't get too excited about Eve. Yeah? Because she has now just taken another step down the road to the fall here. Look at this. What had God really said? Let's go back to Genesis 2:17. Because what we're going to see here is that Eve didn't quote God's word. Because what she did was, she misquoted God's word. She actually added words to God's word that he never actually said. And if you start deleting words, you start adding words to God's word. You no longer have the word of God. And in Genesis 2:17, God said, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely, what? Die. God never mentioned them touching the tree, did he? They could have massaged that tree for a week. God wouldn't have cared less. They could have had their hands all over it. God never said don't touch it. He said don't eat of it. But she added that touching into God's word. So you no longer have God's word now because she's adding to it. And isn't it funny that she adds touching it? Because the nature of man is often to deny the freedom and the grace of God and focus on the restriction and introduce bondage into their lives. So now not only did Eve get into the conversation with the devil, she's deleted some of God's words from God's word, and now she's added some words to the word of God. When you do that, we no longer have God's word. So do you see the progress the devil has made with Eve here? It's a fantastic progress for him. He's chomping away at God's word in Eve's life. And now he tries to do exactly the same today in all of our lives. But is it obvious when he tries to do it? You bet it isn't. Absolutely not. Remember, God is depicting the devil as a snake for good reason. Because of how sly his schemes are. You don't see them coming. You and I, unless we know the word of God accurately, don't see it coming. Your friends, your family, who live in the world without God's word, don't even recognize that it is the devil. They think it's just life turning up in certain situations in life. And in certain situations in life, it will be just what life hands out. But in a lot of circumstances, especially when it comes to our lives as believers, you'll find there's a scheme of the adversary, there's a scheme of the devil, there's a scheme of Satan behind some of the stuff that goes on in our lives and in the lives of others. Now look at the next step the devil takes against Eve. And ultimately, it's the steps he takes against all mankind. Because what happens to Eve here in Genesis is actually handed down to mankind for all time. This fall, guys, that we're looking at here, we're still living with that. We're still living with the consequences of what Eve did here in Genesis. And mankind will, for all of time, live with the consequences of what happened here in Genesis. Because we're all born into this world in a fallen state, without God, because of what's going to happen here in Genesis. So we've got to stay attentive here and watch out how the devil operates. Now, here's the fourth weapon he's going to use, and it will be to change God's word. It'll be to change God's word. In chapter 2:17, Eve changes God's absolute words, "You will surely die." Do you see that? "You will surely die," into "a perhaps, lest ye die." Because in the King James Version, Genesis 3:3 reads like this: "But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it." Then she adds on to it, "lest you die." In case you die. That's not what God said. God said you are going to die that very day you eat of it. Not it might happen. Not if you're lucky, it won't happen. He said it's going to happen. But she changed it into a perhaps. God had said, absolutely, you're going to die. And she said, no, don't touch it, don't eat it, just in case you die. So God had said with absolutely no doubt that if they went against his will, against his words, they would definitely die that very day. There's no question about it. So even Eve changed what was God's absolute statement, "Thou shalt surely die," into a "lest you die," just in case you die. And the Hebrew, which the Old Testament was written in, gives it even added emphasis by saying, "Die, you shall surely die." That's how it reads it in the Hebrew. "Die, you will surely die." So here we see how Eve, through the cunning methods and influence of Satan, Eve starts to water down what God had said. Because God was absolute in what he had said, right? Yet Eve changed it into a possibility. Yeah? But not a certain result of her going against God's word, her disobedience. So do you see now how the devil is starting to water down God's word in Eve's life?
Yeah.
Now here's the fifth weapon. It will be to come out and absolutely contradict what God's word says. And you've got to be aware of this, guys. This is a progression. He didn't start out contradicting God's word. He started out by subtly taking a word out, subtly adding a word, subtly changing a word, suddenly making it from an absolute into a possibility. You see that? It's a progression. And that's the way Satan works. He works progressively, not only in our lives, if he can get in there, but certainly in the lives of other people. Yeah? We're going to see that. So you start to see the devil's progression through this whole record. Now he's about to go for his home run here. He's about to go for his home run. Look what he says in verse 4. Genesis 3:4. The devil says to her, "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman. So now he's come right out and shown his true colors. After all is said and done, he comes right out and contradicts what God had said in his word. Now you have to ask yourself, why didn't the devil just come out with that statement immediately he got into the conversation with Eve? You've got to ask yourself these questions. And quit beating about the bush, or the tree in this case. Yeah?
Yeah.
Why didn't he just come out and say, flatly contradict God's word? You won't surely die. Because he knew that wouldn't work. I'll tell you, that's why. Because if he had, it would have looked so obvious to Eve that this was just wrong to go against the words of God. It would have been so obvious. But what the devil first did was he started to dilute and water down the Word of God. And it's the same way he works today, guys. Like I said last week, he's only interested in an inch in your life, and then 2 inches, and then 3 inches. And you look back after a few weeks and months, and he's got a mile.
Yeah.
Yeah? But he's only interested in an inch at a time. And we're not interested in giving him 1 inch. Because remember, we saw how he turns up as an angel of light, and his spirits turn up as the apostles of Christ. So what you and I hear will be Bible verses. That's what you'll hear. You won't hear somebody contradicting God's word as such. You'll hear Bible verses. But what's been communicated by these Bible verses will be against the true word of God. Right? Because you can make the Bible mean anything you want by taking it out of context, by adding words, by deleting words, by adding emphasis to words that aren't supposed to have emphasis. All these kind of areas. You can make the Bible to mean anything you want. Yeah? And the devil does that. That's one of his biggest tools, is to do that. So that's the way they're going to turn up. And they will teach, guess what? They'll teach that the Bible is powerless. And there's Christian churches today teaching that the power of Jesus Christ is no longer available. Because he left. And the apostles have left. And now you've just got to suck it up and just get on with life. And turn up for a social gospel. But look at what God had really said here in Genesis 2:17. He said, when you eat of it. Right? In other words, when you disobey my words, when that happens, that day, you will surely die. What died? What died? Because Adam and Eve went on to live a long life. Look at how long Adam lived. In Genesis 5:5, it says, altogether, Adam lived 930 years. And then he died. So what died the very day they ate and disobeyed God's word? That spiritual connection that they had with God. Because when they were in the garden, they had spirit. When they were walking with God, they had that spirit that could communicate with God, who is spirit. So what died that very day was Adam and Eve's spiritual connection with God. They lost their spirit, guys, which was made in the image and likeness of God. They no longer had that intimate communication line with God. They were now living by their 5 senses. Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. Their whole life now was dominated by their 5 senses. They had fallen from that unique position with God. And in Ephesians, God calls man, when he's born into the world, dead. Why is that? Because that person, that baby, does not have spirit. And that's why one of the reasons why Jesus Christ had to come was to reinstate our ability to have that spirit in order that we could have that intimate communication line back with God again. It was when Eve allowed her senses to dominate and prevail that she fell into the temptation and the snare of the devil. It's no different for us today. If we allow our senses, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, and touching, to dominate our lives as Christians, we will fall into the same snares and the same schemes and the same methods of the devil. Because the first time Eve's senses are emphasized in Genesis is in Genesis 3:6. Look at this. Verse 6 says, when the woman saw. She what?
Saw.
That's her seeing, guys. That's one of her senses.
Yeah.
When she saw that the fruit of the tree was good for what? Food. Taste. You see, it's all dominated now by her senses. It's no longer her walking with the Spirit of God. She's now dominated by seeing, her taste, and look at this, and pleasing to the eye. Do you see what the emphasis is now? Everything's starting to be pleasing to her senses. And also desirable. Where's that? Desire is in the mind, which is governed by the senses. Desirable for gaining wisdom. She took some and what? Ate it. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. So the whole senses, their whole senses world now was dominating all of the actions they were taking. And now that their senses dominated, they even became conscious of being naked. Isn't that interesting? Look at verse 7. Then what? The eyes. The eyes Their senses are now dominating their life. The eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized. The realization happened in their senses world. They were what? Naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Now, did they know prior to the event, this event of the fall, they were naked? Of course they did. But now it took on a totally different meaning to them. That nakedness took on a totally different meaning to them. And this is a figure of speech called metonymy of the subject. They knew the fact before that they were naked, but they did not know all that was connected with that nakedness. Their nakedness after the fall received a totally new meaning to them, where they felt now the need to be covered. And we must be so aware of just how sly and deceiving the devil was in this whole situation. Because he maneuvered himself into the situation, and he took advantage of a number of key specific circumstances that I'm going to outline to you right now. And he decided, I'm going to hit her now. This is the best time. And sometimes in your life, the devil will wait for the best time to hit you. And often when you're down at your weakest in life is then when he hits you. And the first circumstance I want to highlight is the devil knew that Eve was not there when God had warned Adam about not eating of the tree of knowledge and good and evil. He knew she wasn't present. She wasn't even created. And the devil knew that because she hadn't even been created yet. So she had to go with Adam's instructions, right? And the devil knew that. And the second circumstance was, the devil also knew that Eve had not heard from God directly herself. So she had to rely on Adam to relay the importance of the information given by God. So there was that circumstance. And the third one I want to highlight is, the devil also knew that she, Eve, was the doorway to all of mankind. Because Eve was the only womb in the world. She was the only one capable of bringing forth the rest of mankind. So the devil knew if he could contaminate Eve, he could contaminate the rest of the human race coming out from Eve. And that's exactly what he did. So the steps down were, reviewing what we've been through over the last couple of weeks. First, the devil got into a conversation with Eve, and Eve responded. So they both started conversing. And the conversation, guys, was in the mind. It was all to do with how he was questioning God's word. Because that was the next step. He got her to question God's word. And then the devil got her to delete some of God's word. And then he got her to add to God's word. And then he got her to change God's word from an absolute to a perhaps. Look at the fantastic progression he makes. And remember, we're reading here in Genesis, but it's the same stuff today. It's the same stuff going on in people's lives today. And then he comes out and shows his true colors, and he comes right out and directly contradicts the word of God. You're not going to die. And the minute they disobeyed God, guess what? They died. That spiritual connection was cut for all of mankind. So it was through these simple steps, which are all focused on undermining God's word, that mankind fell into this whole lost state. Isn't that incredible? We've just read why the world is in such a state. Because of man's disobedience to God and his word. Because now, nobody that's born into the world has Holy Spirit. They have no unique connection with God. A connection where God can communicate directly with man. Now, it's so important to realize that the devil's focus was on undermining what God had said. The devil succeeded in fooling Eve into straying away from God's original words. That's all he did. He got her distracted. He got her moved away from what God had originally said. And his motives are exactly the same today. His main target is diluting God's word and ultimately contradicting God's word. He got Eve distracted. That's what he did. He got Eve distracted. He turned up as the angel of light, looking fantastic to Eve. He looked as if he had something to offer Eve. Does it remind you of the devil? He hasn't changed. He still turns up in people's lives looking attractive and looking as a better option. And for many people, it is a better option because he throws the stuff of the world at people. He throws the attractions of the world at people to take them away from God and his word. Now, did he win over Eve? How did he win over Eve? He got her distracted one inch at a time. Never forget that. Because he's only ever after one inch, then another, And before you realize it, it's taken all of God's word out of your life. And for the most part, people never even notice it happening. That's the ironic thing about it. The success of the devil is in the secrecy of his moves. Never forget that. Right? That's how he's successful, because he does everything in secret. So there we have the record of the fall of man. So the devil won over Eve, who in turn won over Adam, which then allowed the devil to take over man's privileged position on earth. Because remember, God had set up man to take care of the whole earth in a fantastic way. And the Bible now calls the devil the god of this world. The devil's now the god of this world. And he now has dominion over the course of this world. If you go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "In which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world." This was before we came to Christ. "In which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the rulers of the kingdom of the air." They're the rulers of the kingdom of the air in the world. "The spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient." So the devil is now referred to by the true God as being the god of this world and age. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says in the King James Version I'm reading, "In whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." God calls Satan the god of this world. The blinding guise goes on in people's where? Mind. In their mind. So that they should never see the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in 2 Corinthians 11:3, God tells us there, "But I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning," she was deceived by his cunning, by his slyness, by the way he took one inch at a time from God's word, "that your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ." What's God afraid of? He's afraid of us losing the word of God in our minds. But for the most part, the word of God doesn't even get into people's minds in the first place. Do you know that? A lot of people don't renew their minds to God's word and put on the mind of Christ. A lot of times he doesn't have to do a lot to get the word of God out of people's lives, because they don't have the dominance of Christ in their minds in the first place. And we've got to watch how the serpent's cunning works in that way. So when Jesus was tempted by the devil, look at what the devil said to him. If you go to Luke chapter 4 and verse 6. So very interesting this, when the devil turns up to Jesus Christ. Because in verse 6, he said to him, and this is the devil now trying to tempt Jesus Christ. The devil said to Jesus Christ, "I will give you all the world's authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to." Adam and Eve gave all the power and splendor and authority that they were given from God over to Satan. And guess what? He can give it to anybody he wants to. And he tried to give it to Jesus Christ. And he tried to say, "You fall before me and worship me, and I'll give you all of this stuff." He's still saying the same to so many people today. "I'll give you all the stuff in your life that you ever want, as long as you never worship the true God. As long as you never give your life to Jesus Christ, you're going to have it all. Because it's his to give to people. It's his to give to people. Because it had been given to him," he said. Adam and Eve had transferred their God-given rights and authority directly to the devil. And the Greek word for given means to deliver one something to keep, to use, to take care of, and manage. That's what the adversary, the devil, Satan, is doing with the world. And this is exactly what God in the beginning had done with the earth. He had given it to Adam and Eve in the beginning to manage, to keep, and now they had transferred it all over to the devil. The spiritual connection with God was now broken. Everyone now is born in a state separate from God. That's how they're born into the world. That's how we were all born into the world. Now, because of the fall, many men think it's a woman's fault that we're in a fallen state, don't they? They do. I can't tell you, the guys think that. They now think that women are weaker And it's just not true, guys. And I want to tell you a little story here. There was a Russian and an American and a blonde. Yeah? And they were talking one day, and the Russian said, "We were the first in space." And the American said, "Yeah, you may have been the first in space, but we were the first to land on the moon." And then the blonde said, "So what? We blondes are going to be the first to land on the sun." Right? And the Russian and the American looked at each other in disbelief and smiled and shook their heads. "You can't land on the sun, you idiot. You'll be burnt to a crisp," said the Russian. To which the blonde replied, "Duh, we blondes are not stupid, you know. We're going to land at night." Right? Well, I don't think there's any truth in that, to be honest with you. So we're not going to blame the ladies today, right? It was the fall of man. Yeah. Mankind. So there's tremendous learning here in the Word of God for us. We have to realize that the devil's main target in summing us up is the Word of God. He never wants people to have an accurate, powerful knowledge of God's Word. Because the only thing that can stop the devil's progress is the church of God walking in the power of Jesus Christ. That's what will stop the devil in his tracks. So one of our main objectives is to ensure everyone in our world, and particularly in this church, get a powerful knowledge of God. And I'm going to finish off with Acts 10:38. You don't need to go there. It's a verse we read a couple of weeks ago. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. That's our goal. It's to bring that deliverance, to bring that spiritual power into people's lives so that they can take action, so they become knowledgeable of the schemes of the devil and they can take action against it. And you know something? The Word of God has, for the most part, now become a social gospel. It's a social gospel for a lot of people. People feel obliged as part of their weekly schedule to turn up at church. And that's it for most people, right? Instead of being the church, they turn up at church. God wants us to be the church. He wants us to walk in the spiritual power of Jesus Christ so that we can take action in people's lives and we can take action against the devil. But many of them don't have the Holy Spirit operating in their lives to the point they can actually help people get delivered from the power of Satan. Because the minute they leave church, they take a switch. And they turn it on the next Sunday, they turn up at church. The devil loves that. He doesn't want you to live in power during the week. He just wants a social gospel. And for the most part, that's what he's done with the systems of religion in the world. Because the devil is so happy with people living that way. Living their lives where the power of God is something they read about now in the Bible. And they think, wow, wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be something I would love in my life? And they have very little actual power living in their own lives. And we've got to change that. Now next week we're going to see in God's Word how we can challenge the devil on every front. Because Jesus Christ showed us how. And with that knowledge, we can become smarter in our lives. In a practical way. Not in a churchy way. Not where I'd stand up here and tell you about it. But where it's actually living in your life. Where you see the power of God operate in your own life. So you can be effective in rescuing people from the power of the devil. Every one of us has to become effective. Can't be left to one or two people. Every one of us has got to take on that responsibility. So have a great week, and let's reach out and touch somebody this week. Heard a great quote this week. To the world you might be one person, but to one person you might be the world. Yeah? So let's be the world for somebody. Let's reach out and touch somebody with the love of Jesus Christ.